Hey there, this is Kevin from the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, and I have something new for you. We're launching a brand new podcast, and this is it. It's the DIY Musician Stories Podcast, hosted by Monty Carty. This will have a similar indie vibe that you're used to from the DIY Musician Podcast, but it will solely focus on musicians and their stories, stories of struggle and success. And it'll dive into topics more about their music and artistic expression. In order to introduce you to this new podcast, we're putting the first few episodes down the DIY Musician Podcast feed. So that's why you're hearing this right now. So if you're liking this new podcast and what you're hearing, you'll want to be sure to subscribe to this directly. All you have to do is search DIY Musician Stories wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. Don't worry, the DIY Musician Podcast that you've known and loved for years is still going strong, but now you have two podcasts to listen to and enjoy. With all that said, here's the DIY Musician Stories Podcast, hosted by Monty Carty.
Hi, I'm Monty. I'm CD Baby's event manager, an artist manager, and I have a podcast called Musings of the Artist. I'm so excited to be hosting this one too, where I'll be speaking with musicians about their stories. This is a special episode for me, as I'm talking with an artist I manage, Misty Boyce. She's part of Sarah Bareilles and Lord Huron's bands, and has a very full solo career. In this episode, we talk about being a sideman versus solo artist, collaborations, the artist-manager relationship, and much more. I hope you enjoy it. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so excited to do this. It's so funny thinking about the last time that I interviewed you. Like how much has transpired since then.
Oh my God.
We first sat down and when I interviewed you for the other podcast, like we didn't really even know each other at that point.
Yeah. That was the first time we met.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I would love to start by just like, let's just set up who you are, how you got to where you are. You're a singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist. You play in Lord Huron and Sarah Bareilles' band. You're a solo artist. I happen to be your manager. and so can you just tell the listeners your path into music, where it started and how you got here?
Oh,
which is a big question, I know.
Yeah, a long story short is I started playing piano around 5. I started singing Into the Mirror to Mariah Carey songs around the same time. And then just never wanted to do anything else. And then got into jazz in high school, went to college for that because that's how I saw like a, you know, you were like required as a human being to go to college at that time. So like, okay, I'll go major in jazz, I guess, and then maybe I can understand everything about music. Turns out that's not really true. I only then understood a lot about jazz. and then I moved to New York and started like trying to pursue my solo career. And in the meantime, like just make a living by playing in random people's bands. And then I ended up going on tour with this guy, Tim Williams, as his keyboard player. And then like, that's sort of just been my career ever since, like doing my stuff as a passion project of sorts. And then like making money playing with other people. And then like it's just become a better and better version of that for the last 10 years or so. So
yeah. I met you actually by way of one of your bandmates and friends, Tom in Lord Huron, who's one of my best friends. And he had told me about you before, I think it was like when you had recently joined Lord Huron. And he just told me that you were just the most phenomenal musician. He's like, she's just incredible. And he was like, you have to meet her. She's also, he just knew that you and I would get along really well. And yeah, and it's been great since then. But I wanted to ask, you know, for people listening who don't have this, you have a very unique experience of being able to have a foot in both worlds of being your a solo artist and doing all this, you know, of your own music, your own writing, performing, and then also being on these massive stages, you know, with other artists and being sort of a little bit like not being front and center. So I would love to hear just a bit of like the differences for you? I mean, obviously they're huge differences, but like what is each one? What are the benefits of each one? What are the challenges of each one? Like, you know, anything you want to talk about the differences of those two things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the obvious difference is that when it's my music and I'm in the front, there's a lot more at stake and it's a lot more vulnerable. And then therefore, when it works, it's like that much more exciting and cathartic and like invigorating. And that feeling is kind of, it's like a drug. And when I'm playing with somebody else, it's like my mind is very much just focused on supporting them and making them sound as good as possible. And also just like doing my job, try not to play wrong notes and like then also just like feel the music. And it's a very like just supportive and like I melt into the whole experience instead of being the focal point. And that's its own kind of cool drug, but yeah. Very different. And so the benefits of, you know, the highs and lows of being a solo artist are much greater. And then the sort of like, so that's both a positive and a negative. You get extremes of positive and negative in that sort sense. And then when, as a side man or a side person, I can sort of enjoy a more equanimous experience where mm-hmm. like, you know, they're, successes and failures aren't felt by me as much, but yeah. like the successes, like, you know, getting to play SNL with Sarah, like felt, like almost as if it was me, like, the way I got to be an observer of such a like huge moment and a participant is like pretty unique. In some ways, like, I don't know if I would want to be in, like, there's just so much pressure in being the main focus in that moment. So I like kind of getting to take a backseat and take in the residuals of that amazing moment, totally. But not have all the pressure. But like I said, like, when you don't have all the pressure, then you don't get all the glory, which I can only imagine is like, I don't even, you know, I get a glimpse of what that might feel like. So I don't know if I'm clear about, but it's, I also like, I get to learn a lot about just the business side of things being in close proximity to people who have like very successful careers and just watch it all instead of being in charge and like maybe not getting to have the bird's eye view of, you know, when you're just in it and you're so close to it, you might not see all of the ins and outs of what's happening. But when you're not the focal point and you can be an observer, I think that's a great like learning perspective to have.
Totally. You explained that so well. And I think you've told me a lot about how much Sarah and Ben have meant to you and how special it's really been for you to be a part of their bands. And would you mind sharing anything you've learned from either or both of them?
Well, I've learned Sarah is such a boss and like the grace with which she navigates being a boss and also an artist and also just like a soft, tender human who's also incredibly strong. Like her tenderness and compassion and empathy is her strength. Like she's learned to hone that like a superpower. And getting to watch her do that not only like in relation to her fans and her artistry, but also to as a businesswoman and like and her band and her employees and like she really oversees the whole thing. Like and she's an entity that's just overseeing the whole, like kind of godlike. but she's also very human. I get to see her humanness as her friend and like I just love the proximity I get to that, to just see a human also take on this like omniscience in a way.
Yeah. And she seems to really lift you up a lot, which is beautiful to see.
She's an incredible person.
Oh. I was just going to ask, you know, Lord Huron and Sarah Bareilles are, you know, very different types of bands, and you have this really unique opportunity to be able to be a part of both of them in addition to your solo work. So tell me a little bit about the differences for you about when you're on the road with Sarah versus Lord Huron. And then maybe we'll talk a little bit after that about your own solo stuff too and what that's like. But just between those two bands, what are they both like in their own right?
So I think like just because of the style of music, with Lord Huron, there's more of a, like, you're recreating what the record sounds like. And so I'm kind of more of a technician in that way. Like I'm technically recreating what their records sound like, in real time, which, making the record come alive, which has its own benefits and fun. And with Sarah, it's more of like a, I don't want to say, like, both experiences are alive, but there's a lot more improvisation that happens in Sarah's band. There's a lot more room for individual voices to pop in and out because we're kind of like, it's not sounding like the record necessarily. It's sort of like, what does this music sound like tonight? There's more of a, I feel like she invites everyone to just like bring their voice to the table. So I feel like my voice as a musician is much more exposed in that kind of environment.
Mm. Awesome. And talk about a little bit about, because for people who don't have this experience of being able to tour with, very well-known bands, and do their solo stuff. Talk a little bit about how you balance the two. Like, how do you weave in time? Because you give your all to everything you do. Like, how do you do that? Like, where do you find pockets of time to really work on your solo stuff while you're also on the road with one of these bands?
I basically just am never not working.
Right.
It's made like family relationships and personal relationships really challenging because I have in the past like just always prioritized my career and music. It's been like the love of my life. And so I'm always, if I'm not learning somebody else's music or performing somebody else's music, I'm writing my own music, I'm recording my own music, I'm trying to play my own shows. And it's I'm just constantly hustling at that and loving every second of it. So I make time for, when I was on the road with Lord Huron this last year, for the second half of it, I started getting myself hotel rooms to just like go away and write for the Genesis record.
Yes.
Very much inspired by watching Ben do that on the road. Like, he is nonstop creative, and like it was so inspiring to see. We'd wake up on the bus, he'd go straight to a hotel room and start writing. He'd show up for sound check and then go right back to the hotel to keep writing. And then I'd see him for the show. And then even after the show, he'd go back and write. And I was just like, that is what's up. Like, I really was inspired by him, and I started doing that myself. And it's like a fire that you keep putting fuel on it, the creative spirit. If you just, feed it every day, it pays you back.
Totally. And I think that's so imperative to being a full-time musician is like, you have to have that fire. I think you can't do it without it,
Yeah.
And I love hearing, the various ways that both Ben and Sarah have really influenced you. And it's so great to have those people to emulate, in certain areas and take from. It's really awesome. And you are on the road normally all the time, and mm-hmm. it's suddenly come to a halt. So I would love to hear from you about both on an emotional level and then also just on a practical level. Can you share a bit about how you've handled this and how you've pivoted some of your efforts during this time? Because you've been doing a lot. You've still been keeping very busy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lifestyle I've had in the past, 5 years or so or longer is like very nonstop and very on the move. And to come to a full stop was jarring, to say the least. But I am incredibly thankful for having done, I did, you know, 2 10-day silent meditation retreats in the last couple of years. And I feel like I had the right tools at the right time to sort of handle this transition. That it didn't make it easier, for sure. In some ways it made it harder because I couldn't run from the feelings. Like, I feel everything and I force myself to feel everything. And that makes uncomfortable moments very uncomfortable. But in the end, I move through that discomfort a lot faster. I feel like I'm able to like process trauma in real time in a way now that I didn't before. And so it's been a really intense time, like from COVID to, you know, the racial environment that's so necessary and very difficult to sit in. But I've actually, like, this time has been so incredibly beautiful, because within all of the chaos and all of the uncertainty has been true bliss and true, like, clarity and, like, true awakening and like seeing change happen in myself and in the world around me. I feel like people are really like waking up and really doing the work of healing themselves and then hopefully healing others and trying to like really make moves to build a different world. And that's like so exciting to be part of.
Absolutely.
I mean, at least that's just in my limited scope. That's what I see. I mean, there could be like another realm where that's not happening. It probably is. I try to not pay too much attention to Trump and some of the like other movements that are not as healing happening, because it just doesn't serve the moment. But yeah.
Well, one of the things I really admire about you is that, you know, you mentioned just a little bit ago about feeling everything so deeply. And I do think that's a key ingredient to being an artist, don't you? Like, I can't imagine being able to make the work you make without having that, like, it wouldn't feel like genuine or authentic if you weren't, you know, feeling so deeply. And I don't know an artist out there that doesn't feel deeply. And one of the things I really admire about you is I see you take any pain and emotion that you have and you are productive with it. And is part of that because of the time you've really, because you were mentioning before that you weren't maybe always that way. Like, you were maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you perhaps like kind of ignored those feelings before. And then you've now come into this place where you know to sit with the emotion and sit with the feelings. And is that in part because of the meditation retreats you've been on, or like how did you learn that?
Definitely, like the latest is the meditation retreats. But I think that the music was that at first, like when I was a kid and having a hard time at home, like music is the thing that I went to escape from that and to distract myself. And that really served me for a long time. And then you wake up and like, well, that's not working anymore. I think because then it gets associated with like, productivity and like proving something, and the purity of it kind of goes away once you're like a professional. And I think I was forced to like get to a deeper root of what just being alive means, and that has to exist without music and without proving anything on this planet. Just like being a person, being okay with that has come from meditation and like awesome. And practicing that. Yeah.
That's great. And you've had, as every artist and human has, you had some, you know, difficult life experiences. I think both personally and professionally. And I always like to shine a light on this because I think there's such a illusion, you know, people think that these successful musicians are just like, you know, oh yeah, that just happened. And you got there and it was easy peasy. And of course that's not the case. And you know, you, like anybody, will struggle with hard times and with rejections or with setbacks, you know. Anything you want to share in that realm with people that just like helps people to like feel a little bit less alone and also within that, if you're able to think of a situation where something in your life as a musician like didn't work out the way you had hoped, but then something better came through, could you share that?
Yeah, I think, well, if I answer the first part, I think we're so conditioned to like run away from discomfort and not, and like we're taught to work hard, but we don't want working hard to feel bad. It's like this, there's like so many like cognitive dissonances happening internally. And I think what I've learned is that it helps to have something that you're just like so in love with that you're willing to figure out all of this hard stuff around it. And I'm really thankful that I had music and something like kind of like a North Star to point my effort at that has helped me like learn bigger life lessons. Like disappointment is a part of life. Working hard is necessary. Working hard means pain. And then that pain leads to like wonderful other great feelings, but you can't get to those great feelings without some really hard work and effort first.
Yeah.
And that like not being afraid of that cycle, like that happens over and over again. Like you're never going to land on a nice, blissful feeling and then just stay there. Like then you're going to go back into the pain again. But hopefully every time you go back into the pain, you realize like, oh, this passes too.
Yes.
And
yes.
Everything is always passing and it's always in a flow. And like, if we cannot just meet the whole ride with equanimity, that's just like, that is the bliss, not the changing feeling.
Yeah.
And then the second part, what was the question?
Yeah, if you can, yeah. Thank you for answering that so beautifully. I will add to, if anyone hasn't read When Things Fall Apart, Pema Chodron, that's such a good book about that, about just things ever changing, you know, and something I think about a lot. But yeah, the second part to the question was, if you can think of a situation where something in your life as a musician didn't work out like the way you had really hoped it would, and then something better ended up coming through.
I think my whole career has been that, because I guess, you know, in like I on some level have always just wanted my solo career to be the thing. Like I want this to be the thing where I make all my money and put all my effort into, and like I want to be the famous one. I want my name on the marquee. Like that hasn't come to the fruition that I maybe hoped it would. But one day I woke up like maybe 2 or 3 years ago and was like, oh, I have the career I always wanted. It just doesn't look like I thought it would look. Like, and I get the best of both worlds. I get to make exactly the kind of music I want to make. I get to take my time with it. I get to work with who I want to work with. There's no like dude in a room telling me how to look or what to sound like, or, you know, I really get to run the ship. And then I also get to enjoy playing SNL, playing Coachella, playing like all of these huge, like bucket list type things, like, as a side, like watching somebody else do it and like helping their vision come to life, and then just like enjoying kind of melting into the background of that and like just being a musician in a very pure way.
Totally.
And not having the responsibility of that. So like, I think, yeah, my failure in some way was my success.
That's awesome. Yeah. From my perspective, I think it's like, that seems like a dream, you know, to be able to have both those things. And also, you know, one of the great benefits I will say, like, you know, if you doing, being part of these other bands, in addition to just the obvious, is that it does afford you to have, be able to put some, I don't know, not as much pressure on your solo career, you know, like you can... just the same as if anybody out there has like a day job, you know, that's maybe related somehow to music, but it's not like the thing. It takes a little bit of the pressure off, you know, to like, like, cause it's a lot of pressure to put on your like solo career, as a musician, like, you know, putting that work out, like you get to actually really, put more funds and energy into that in a way that maybe you wouldn't be able to if you didn't have the other stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. And And I don't want to hide behind that. There is a part of me that's like, well, am I afraid of that? Am I afraid of the pressure and the responsibility of being the person out in front? And the answer is like, yeah, a little bit, because it's scary.
Yeah,
I mean, I want, you know, like in to be out front like that means you're going to be hated in some by some people and judged like mercilessly, because that's what humans do to each other. I am terrified of that. I'm a people pleaser and I want everybody to love me, like every true narcissist. But
I don't know that that's necessarily a narcissist quality. I mean, it is, but it's also, I think, a human quality. I think we all feel that way, don't you?
I do. Yeah. Thank you for being forgiving. Yes.
It's true. It's true.
It's part of it. It's part. We all just want to feel accepted and be loved. And
yeah.
But you have to be able to have a thick skin to people judging you if you're going to put yourself out in front like that. And I've been a little bit afraid of that. And
yeah, it's terrifying.
Less and less though, because it really doesn't matter what people say.
Well, I think it's, that's something, I know I've come to really have to deal with. And I mean, everybody I know that, you know, puts anything out there as an artist, it's like, it's really tough. Like you put your heart and soul into something and then someone's going to reject it. And that's just, you come to learn that that's the way it is for anybody. And I'm sure you see that. Even with Sarah, with Ben, and any other, you know, major artists that you work with, you probably see people like not being so nice to them, you know. No matter who you are, you're gonna get that. Like you cannot please everybody.
Yeah.
And that's like an important truth to sort of come to terms with and not let your self-worth be reliant on one person's opinion of you, either good or bad.
Yeah, because if you let that go, then you're free to like actually just do whatever you want to do, what feels good to you. And that's inevitably going to resonate with a bunch of other people, like, and just forget about the people who it doesn't resonate with. It doesn't, that's why there's so many different kinds of artists to fit every different kind of need in the world. So
exactly. Yeah. It's a good lesson.
Great lesson.
So I want to talk about your single that was released today, actually.
Yes.
Which so good. It's with Taylor Goldsmith of Dawes sings on it. And I do want to talk for a second about how that came about, because it's just kind of cool. Because I remember when we were talking about who would sing on this track with you, that was actually your number one choice. And yeah. I love when this happens. And so I emailed Taylor and I think he responded within like 20 minutes, maybe 15, and was like, yes, I would love to sing with Misty. And so I just, first of all, let's just like, tell me how that felt to be like, you know, have your number one choice just be like, oh my gosh, yes, of course.
It was a dream. I mean, really, like, it was so exciting. I, you know, when I moved to LA, it was very much in my mind, like, I want to meet those guys. I want to work with those guys. Like, I was so obsessed with Dawes and like Blake Mills and that whole crew of songwriters. That they were like, they represented like this sort of true north that I was looking for, of like, you know, like dedication to their craft, musicianship, the words that felt timeless yet really fresh, and like, I just loved everything about it, and I wanted to work with them. And I had just gotten the gig with Sarah, and Sarah had worked with Blake. And so I think like I got on their radar somehow through that circle. And like, it's just been like a sort of slow circling around each other for the last 5 years, and like us getting to know each other just via acquaintance, like, and then their old tour manager reached out to me to sing backup for one of their shows. And I was on tour with Borns at the time. And I was like, oh no, this is my moment. Oh. Like, I've been waiting for this to happen and I couldn't do it. And I was like, so bummed. I was so bummed. And I thought maybe that ship had sailed. And then to like reach out to him to be a part of my music, was like I'm really reaching for the thing. And for him to like respond so quickly, and then for it to like work out so well, even though we had to like reschedule the recording date and he was so flexible with that. And then for it to have all come together before COVID, like I just feel like it was such a magical moment in my career as a whole. This record really feels like,
oh yeah,
to me.
I'm so excited for you. It's such a brilliant record. Every song on it, every part of it. I can't wait for the whole thing to be out in the world.
Yeah, me too. I'm so stoked.
Can you just circling back to the song with Taylor? Can you tell listeners a little bit of, we're gonna play the song on here too, but can you tell us a little bit about the song and how it came about?
So the song, it's part of, so five of these songs on the record, John, Joseph, and I wrote together. Like, I wrote the words, but the songs came together, melody and chords, like in his studio together. So it's very, very co-written. And, the song is about like my disillusionment with the Genesis 1 story that we've just downloaded as a society. Like, here's man and woman, and like man and God are basically like on team dude. And then Eve is like ruined everything by eating an apple when like Adam totally participated equally. And
yes.
And then, you know, like I'm very like just waking up to how white centric my interpretation of that is too, and just like I'm kind of now seeing how that story has oppressed everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I was just writing from it from my like white feminist perspective, but it's, you know, I'm Adam too in the story. I mean we're all of it, but so it's about being so sick of the paradigm and wanting it to change.
And in no time at all, I'm a liar for you, honey. Was awake for it all till the knives put me under, lighting up the dark side, whispering sweet till the sun.
Talk about any other song that you want to just share about, you know, whether it's Telephone or any other song that you put out recently, or going to put out that you wanted to share a story behind.
Well, the next single that's coming out July 17th is called I Do. And it's the first song that I finally got to take my Herbie Hancock jazz solo on.
Ah, amazing. Yes.
Which I'm like so excited about. Like this record for like so many elements of who I am to come together in one body of work is very exciting for me. Like I get to work with Taylor. I get to like do my jazz thing. I get to have like really, you know, quiet, subtle solo piano moments. I get to like, you know, do my indie folk girl thing. I get to do my like synthy pop stuff. It's just like,
yes,
it all feels like it's here, and that feels really gratifying.
The full expression of Misty. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. I wanted to also just touch on, because I almost forgot to ask you about this. You were recently part of the Bachelor franchise, the band, so funny, because I remember when we were talking about, like, just on management side of things, like we were talking about scheduling you for things and you couldn't even tell me like what it was.
Yeah.
I had this like, this reality TV show thing I'm doing. And so it was all like top secret. But what was that like?
It was wild. I mean, I have so many issues with reality TV in general, maybe The Bachelor specific. So, and I know I can't like, bite the hand that feeds me because I'm very grateful for that work, especially it happened like right before COVID hit. And like, I really, that paycheck was super helpful. And like the band that I worked with was amazing, like just great people. But, you know, I gotta be honest because I can't not be honest. Like, I really, it's just so challenging to witness that part of our human experience, like that we choose to be entertained by sort of watching people's like really silly drama play out in the way that it does. And then, you know, watching those people like who in some ways are, you know, very much want to be musicians and I don't know, watching the producers manipulate them and like from the inside, I just like, I don't like it. It's all just really gross.
Totally.
And yeah, like, and I'm a hypocrite because I participated, but I don't like it.
Well, I think it's good to shine a light on that too, because I think once again, people see this result and they don't see what's going on behind the scenes, you know? But remember, do you remember that I had that party, the paella party with Wells, who was on The Bachelor.
He
was on The Bachelor. Just thought of that. Because when you guys met, you hadn't done that yet, but you now have something in common.
Totally. Oh my gosh.
Oh man. And I guess lastly about sort of like listing some of the things that you've done. You've done so many incredible things in your career, but tell me what it was like working with Sting.
Gosh. Dude, it was amazing. It was like total dream. I mean, I at once like had a lot of like, what am I doing here moments, like why me? But just, you know, getting to push through that and like, no, I mean, I'm hired, I belong here, I'm gonna act like I belong here even if I don't feel like I belong here. And you know, it's like getting to sing on a mic with him right next to me, like hearing that voice that I've just grown up hearing, like happening in my ear as I'm also singing. It was so psychedelic. And then, you know, we got to like ride on a private jet to Toronto to play that show. And I sat right across from him and had just a human conversation. He's such a sweet man. Aww. And like so cool. And
that's so good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, like he's the real deal, and he's a true artist. He's always like searching and being open to people's ideas, and the whole experience is very collaborative, and he really valued like all of our inputs, even though we were like, you know, dingleberries compared to him musicianship wise. He was incredible.
That's so cool. He's one of those people that like are artists that I never get like starstruck really, you know, but like, I think I would be around him.
he's got one of those presences too. That's just like, he walks into a room and the air changes just.
Oh yeah.
Whoa. You know, because of the history of his name, but his being, you know, like he's really done. He's an extraordinary being on this planet.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, I have a couple more questions for you. And then I want to ask you some, we had some listener questions that I'm excited to ask as well. So what's an album or song that changed your life? A big question there, but.
The first thing that comes to mind is Radiohead, OK Computer. That record came along like just in time for me to be like, for my like, emo teenage like wanting to be emotive self to meet with my like nerdy music like want to be a dork about music self, like it really combined both of those passions and sort of like opened my eyes to what's possible musically and emotionally in music. So that one for sure.
That's awesome. And I love asking this question too. Do you have any lesser known artists or, you know, artists that are under the radar that you're like just really loving right now?
I mean, I'm obsessed with Andy Schaaf and Fox Warren. I don't know how under the radar they are in like, definitely not in indie scenes. Everybody is very hip, but I'm obsessed with Fox Warren. That record is still blowing my mind.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So what's a memorable fan interaction, either you as a fan with someone or other way around? And I've seen people totally fanning out with you. Like when you, it's so funny thinking about like sort of what you were talking about being, you know, sort of being more behind the scenes. But like, well, I remember one time when we were like, what was it? I think it was in, was it New Orleans? Nashville, I don't know. One of the, I basically am a lord here on Groupie. I should mention that. Yeah. I go on a lot of shows. But we were like, yeah, backstage and like coming out. And, I mean, you had so many people lined up just to even just like see you for a second. So you've definitely experienced that side of things. Whether it's with, you know, with the bands you work with or as your, you know, solo stuff. So tell me like a fan interaction again, either way, like whether you're a fan or someone's a fan of you, like that's really kind of had some impact on you.
You know, the first thing that's coming to mind, there's this, this French girl, woman now, who has been a fan of mine for many years. I think her name is Lison.
Very good pronunciation, Misty.
I studied French. Sorry. Yeah, Lison, and she is like, I think she was really young when she found my music, and she was a fan from afar for a while, and we kind of developed a relationship. Like, she wrote me the sweetest like emails about, you know, the impact that I've made on her, and then we were able to meet in Paris when I was playing with Borns when we were opening up for Halsey. Which was a really strange show for her to come to for me, but like I got to meet her like outside. I, you know, we like met on the street outside of the venue, and it was like really meaningful for me. Like I kind of getting choked up thinking about it. Like just she was so sweet, and to know that what I do alone in my room can make anybody feel better in their life just like means so much to me. It means everything to me. And she kind of represents like the person, she's my closest connection to that experience, like creating that experience for somebody else. And that means a lot to me.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And I think that's like, you just hit on it. That's like probably one of the big reasons you do what you do, right? It's like to be able to have those kinds of moments and to feel like you've had some sort of impact on somebody else.
Yeah, because I mean, that's incredible. What music did for me when I was a kid. And so to like continue that history is important and feels very cathartic.
Yeah. And also you hit on something too, that you mentioned that you sort of had this, sort of built a relationship with her. And I think that's so unique to the time we're in now, because like 10 years ago, that wasn't really possible, right? Like the fans and the artists were so separate. And now there's so much, like even people that are like really have massive followers and, you know, maybe they're not having a friendship with every fan of theirs, but they have this ability now to like, you know, respond to comments on their Instagram and that sort of thing. And
That's also,
I'm curious. Yeah, go ahead.
That's a perk of being like a smaller artist. Like I really know, I still get to like know personally all of my fans.
that's so lovely.
You know, there's about like 20 of them that have just like been there from the beginning.
Yeah, totally. That's super cool. All right. So my last question before we get to the listener questions is, what are you feeling most excited about right now?
Oh, I feel like excited and terrified at once about just kind of everything. Like nothing, like the world as we know it is gone. We're building a new one. Like, and that's very exciting and very scary. And I am just trying to like stay in the moment with the ride of it. So I'm just waiting with bated breath at like every next turn.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so much going on in the world right now that feels really, really, really dark, but I think is also this incredible opportunity to make things so much better.
Yeah.
In various realms. And then on a personal level, you know, you have this album coming out soon too. So there's that too. So you have a lot going on.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. So here's some questions we got. I won't read all of them, but I'll read a couple of them. What is it like? These are questions that we got actually from Instagram when we posted that we were going to be interviewing you. And some people responded. So here's one question. What's it like touring with Lord Huron? Any funny moments you'd like to share?
Well, touring with them is a blast. I think one of my big takeaways is they hipped me to gambling. I used to be like so scared of it and such a hater. And then they showed me the light. Gambling is super, super fun when it's not an addiction. It can be super fun. I know everything about craps thanks to Ben.
Amazing. I did not know that about them, actually. When you start working with a new band or artist, how do you learn their material?
Well, every situation is pretty different because it depends on like how much programming I'm doing and sound design. Like the style of the music really changes the way I learn it. And like what I have to learn, like if it like something for Sarah, there were songs where I kind of just need to know the form and the general changes. And then I'm going to be like, kind of riffing around with that. So I don't know how prepared or not prepared to be. I just like learn the song as best I can, just like, and get my fingers around the chords and maybe have some ideas about what I might do. But then there's some songs where like have very specific parts and then need to create very specific sounds. So it's like this combination of like matching a sound and getting that sound right and then learning the part. And it can be so complex. That's like I could do a whole podcast on that question.
About that. Well, yeah, it sort of ties to what you were saying earlier too, that it also really depends on the artist, right? And like, cool. Someone asked also, how was the process of creation for her before the studio?
For me, before the studio?
Yeah.
Well, I'm always writing. And then like more and more lately, I'm also demoing stuff out in Ableton or Logic or whatever software I'm using. And actually one of my Ableton demos made the record. So that's kind of exciting. So I'm doing that alone. And then when I have a producer involved, like I get in the room with them. And in this case, like John and I did a lot of co-writing. So that was new to me. I've always been the like primary writer. And then when I get into the studio with the producer, they're like doing editing or like, you know, maybe making some structural changes or saying like, I think you could work on that lyric or, you know, maybe change that line, but the song itself is mostly intact. This was like very different in that we like kind of created everything from scratch in the studio.
Yeah.
So it's always different.
Awesome. So somebody asked, do you have any rituals with other members of Lord Huron before the concert? And I'll expand that, you know, maybe tell us that, but you can, if you have any different ones with Sarah and maybe on your own, like I'd love to hear them.
Well, with Lord Huron, we just do like kind of a like all hands in the middle, like, and then Ben would say something really smart and funny every night. And then we'd go, yeah. Or like, you know, repeat whatever word that he said last. And it was like, I was always shocked at how funny and creative they were every night. With Sarah, we get together in someone's dressing room and just have a dance party for 15 minutes before the show.
And amazing.
Dance and make each other laugh and just like look into each other's eyes across the room.
That's awesome. And how about when you're on your own, when it's just you?
When I'm playing solo, I definitely like to, you know, close my eyes and like meditate and center for like 5 minutes before. And if I have a band, I've sort of adopted the Sarah thing where like we'll get together and put some music on and just sort of like be goofy and just connect before a show.
Love that. Cool. All right. So the last question, how do you know that you have come up with a good record?
Oh, I think you just feel it. Like something clicks, like when you're, you know, like when you're trying to solve a math problem and like you don't get it and then you get it.
Yes.
The moment totally. Where you're just like, oh, I get it. That feeling is like, oh, that's right. That's the right chord, or like that's the right word, or this is the right sound, or like this is the right person to work with. Like there's like a moment which you can feel it click.
Yes. Oh, that's so great. And it's like just an intuitive feeling.
There's a lot of not that feeling that comes before you know what that feeling feels like, though.
It's like in writing, like when I write prose, you know, it's like it's the same thing where it's like there's so many terrible first drafts before you get to that place. Yeah. And yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like you, when you're like, oh, this clicks, this sentence clicks, or this whatever, it's the same thing. And
We were watching that movie about the climber. It's called The Dawn Wall. And
I don't know.
There's this one pitch that they're trying to do that they do over and over and over again. And it seems like they're not going to get it. Like just painstaking like attempts, like days and days and months. And then when it counts, the guy just, he's like, I was on the mountain. I was at pitch 15. And then it's sort of like the mountain just opened up and then he did it for the first time. Ooh. And like, that's what it is. Like you just work hard. You fail. And then all of a sudden, like something opens up and something clicks.
Totally.
That's the moment.
Oh, yes. And it's just another lesson that you have to be tenacious, you know, and keep going.
Nothing can replace the work. You just have to work really hard.
Totally. Thank you so, so much, Misty. It was so fun doing this, like a recorded conversation again.
I loved it. I loved every second of it. I love Same. You.
I love you too. And I can't wait to have more people listen to your story because I'm always in awe of you. And one thing I didn't say earlier, but I do want to mention, you know, I think for anybody listening who doesn't have a manager yet, I think like to me, like you're an example of just like, this is like the ingredients are just all there for the perfect recipe because I'm like, I think as a manager, you have to be so passionate about the artists that you work with. Mm-hmm. And I really genuinely feel that with you. I feel so honored to work with you and think you're just both musically and personality, soul, everything is just, I just think the world of you.
So. I love you. I'm so grateful to have you. Like I'm so lucky. So thank you. The feeling is mutual.
Okay, I'm gonna go cry now. Okay, have a great day and we'll talk soon.
Okay, talk soon. Bye.
Bye.